Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Trade Wars Are Class Wars, How Rising Inequality Distorts the Global Economy and Threatens International Peace by Matthew C. Klein and Michael Pettis is a nonfiction economics book that challenges the usual way trade disputes are explained. Rather than treating tariffs and trade conflicts as simple clashes between nations, the authors argue that many of these tensions come from domestic policy choices that redistribute income toward elites and away from workers. The result is not only social inequality, but also persistent savings imbalances, weak household demand, higher debt, and trade conflicts that spill across borders. Drawing on macroeconomics, history, and international political economy, the book examines how the United States, China, and Europe became locked in a system where internal class tensions shape global outcomes. Its purpose is both analytical and corrective to reframe trade wars as consequences of inequality, and to show why solving them requires more than slogans about free trade or protectionism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why trade conflicts are rooted in domestic inequality, not just national rivalry. The central argument of the book is that trade wars are often misunderstood as contests between countries with fixed national interests. Klein and Pettis argue instead that the deeper cause is class conflict within countries, where policy decisions favor asset owners, financial elites, and politically influential firms over ordinary workers. This matters because once income is concentrated at the top, domestic demand weakens. Workers cannot buy everything they produce, so economies become dependent on exports, external borrowing, or policy interventions that shift problems abroad. Trade disputes then appear as international hostility, but in the author's view, they are often symptoms of unresolved internal distributional conflict. This reframing is one of the book's most important contributions because it changes the policy question. Instead of asking how one country can beat another in trade, the book asks how governments can reduce inequality and restore balanced growth at home. That makes the argument economically specific and politically uncomfortable, since it implies that trade tensions are often created by domestic winners who benefit from the status quo. Secondly, how savings imbalances and weak demand drive global trade tensions. A major analytical tool in the book is the focus on savings and balance imbalances. The authors reject the simplified idea that trade flows are mainly determined by production costs or comparative advantage. Instead, they emphasize that when a country suppresses wages or channels too much income to the rich, households save more at the top and spend less overall. That creates excess savings relative to domestic investment opportunities, which must be exported through current account surpluses. Other countries then absorb the counterpart deficits, often through borrowing or financial fragility. In this framework, trade balances are not isolated technical accounting results, but expressions of domestic distributional structures. The book uses this macroeconomic lens to explain why tariffs alone do not resolve the underlying problem. If imbalances are generated by inequality, then raising import barriers may simply move the pressure elsewhere while leaving the core distortion intact. This is a practical and useful insight because it connects trade policy to income policy, labor markets, and financial stability rather than treating them as separate domains. Thirdly, the role of China, Germany, and the United States in creating global imbalances. The book grounds its argument in the recent economic history of major economies, especially China, Germany, and the United States. It shows how policy choices in each case contributed to an unstable global system, though in different ways. In export-led economies, restrained wages and high corporate savings helped generate large external surpluses. In deficit economies, consumer borrowing and asset bubbles helped keep demand afloat even as manufacturing weakened and household incomes stagnated. The authors trace how these patterns emerged over decades through deliberate political and business decisions, not accident. This historical emphasis is important because it shows that current trade conflicts are not inevitable features of globalization. They are the result of choices about wage suppression, credit expansion, currency policy, industrial strategy, and the distribution of national income. By comparing countries, the book also makes clear that no single nation is the sole cause of the problem. Different governments helped build the system, and each has incentive to blame others when tensions rise. The result is a broad but concrete account of how global imbalances were assembled and why they prove so difficult to unwind. Fourthly, why inequality threatens financial stability and democratic politics. Beyond trade policy, the book argues that rising inequality creates wider institutional dangers. When workers lose bargaining power and wages lag behind productivity, households often rely on debt to maintain living standards. That can sustain consumption for a while, but it also makes the economy more vulnerable to financial crises. At the same time, the social consequences of stagnation and insecurity can feed resentment, polarization, and distrust in institutions. The authors connect these pressures to historical episodes in which economic dislocation supported nationalism and weakened democratic norms. Their warning is not merely that inequality is unfair, but that it distorts the functioning of markets and destabilizes political order. This is where the book moves beyond standard trade analysis. It links balance of payments issues to internal social cohesion, showing how economic systems can transfer domestic tensions into international conflict. The broader implication is that trade disputes are often signs of deeper structural stress. If leaders ignore distributional problems, they may see more protectionism, currency conflict, and political extremism. The book therefore presents inequality as both an economic inefficiency and a governance risk. Lastly, a history-driven alternative to mainstream trade and globalization debates. The book stands out because it combines macroeconomic analysis with historical interpretation and policy critique. Many books about trade wars focus narrowly on tariffs, industrial policy, or geopolitical rivalry. Klein and Pettis instead build a larger narrative about how globalization became unstable because domestic institutions failed to distribute gains broadly. Their approach is especially distinctive in the way it uses history not as background decoration, but as evidence. The authors draw lessons from earlier periods of trade conflict and economic breakdown to show that the current era has recognizable precedents. This gives the book both explanatory depth and warning value. It is not a manual for winning trade negotiations, and it is not a simple defense of free trade either. Rather, it asks readers to rethink the architecture of the global economy itself. That makes it valuable for economists, policy readers, and general readers who want a more structural explanation of why trade disputes persist. The book's originality lies in its refusal to separate domestic inequality from international economics, treating them as one system with shared consequences. In conclusion, Trade Wars Are Class Wars is best suited for readers who want to understand global trade as a macroeconomic and political system rather than a series of isolated policy disputes. Economists, policymakers, students of international relations, and general readers concerned with inequality will all find value in its argument. The book is especially useful for anyone who has sensed that tariff battles and trade rhetoric do not fully explain the tensions among major economies. Its main benefit is conceptual clarity. It shows how domestic income distribution, savings behavior, and household demand shape international outcomes. That makes it intellectually useful for readers trying to connect economics with politics, finance, and social stability. Compared with many books in the trade debate, it stands out for refusing easy binaries such as free trade versus protectionism, or globalization versus nationalism. Instead, it argues that the real issue is how internal class structures distort the external economy. This combination of historical perspective, macroeconomic logic, and policy relevance gives the book a broader scope than most works on trade conflict. It is a serious agenda-setting contribution for readers who want to understand not just what trade wars are, but why they keep happening. If you would like to support Matthew C. Klein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.